Today I went on a kayak. I've never done that before. My wife's been trying to get me to do it, but she finally got me out, you know. Actually, I guess you could say Karen and Pastor got me out on it. And then, you know, with Laura wanting to do this for a long time, I guess they just pushed it all the way to get me on a kayak today, you know. How many know that it's good to get out of your comfort zone? I want to tell you, I had no desire, absolutely none, to get on a kayak today at all. I was doing it solely for my wife. But I tell you what, once I got out there, man, it wasn't that bad, you know. I feel that's the same way when it is with God and His kingdom, amen. There's a lot of things that people need to be doing in the body of Christ, but they ain't doing. There's a lot of people that are called in the body of Christ to do certain things, but they're not doing them. There's people that got gifts, talents, abilities that aren't using them at all. And I think in order for a church to grow, we need to start noticing and recognizing the gifts, the talents, the abilities, and the anointings that people carry. Now, I want to share with you this message I'm going to bring to you tonight. If you're taking notes, you might want to get out a notebook because I'm going to be bringing you a lot of stuff tonight. But this is a message that God spoke to me, I believe it was back in October, November. And I was standing in my kitchen, and He told me that He wanted me to start preaching on recognizing the anointing. Let me say that again. Recognizing the anointing. And before I knew it, I was in my kitchen and I had written out a whole sermon on my iPhone, you know, within just like 10 minutes, of stuff that God was just downloading into my spirit. So tonight, if you're taking notes, write this down. We are going to be talking about recognizing or noticing the anointing. I want to tell you that there are people in this room that are anointed by God. I got no amens on that. There are people in this room that are anointed by God. You are anointed for service. You are anointed with gifts. You are anointed with talents. You are anointed with ability for not just yourself, but for the body of Christ and for the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us is anointed by God for something. Did you hear what I said? I want to tell you, and I'll say this, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, I'm going to put her on the spot. But Pastor Whitney is one of the most anointed worship leaders I have ever came across out of the 600 churches that I've preached in the last 11 years. She is one of the most anointed young ladies that I've ever seen in my life. But God anoints other people too. Hello? God has anointed people in this room to do things with gifts, talents, abilities for the body of Christ. The problem is, though, sometimes we do not recognize the anointing that is on us. And sometimes the anointing is on us and we don't recognize it ourselves. That's one way. But there's another way that sometimes we don't recognize the anointing. Sometimes we don't recognize the anointing that other people carry. Well, did you hear what I said? Sometimes we can recognize it in ourselves, but do we recognize it in other people? Do we recognize the anointing that they carry, the gifts that God gave them, the talents that God gave them, the abilities that God gave them? Do we recognize it in other people? I'll tell you what, my friends, that is the hardest one sometimes to get it past, is recognizing the anointing that other people carry and getting them used with inside the body of Christ, inside the church. You know, there's people I know in churches all across this nation that are gifted, talented, anointed by God, and they sit in a chair or sit in a pew every Sunday morning and don't get used because people overlook their anointing. Did you hear what I said? And sometimes it might be because, well, it's the way that they look, or they're a little eccentric, or they, you know, they got this quirk about them or that, and they just get overlooked in their gifts, their anointings that they carry. Now, don't get me wrong. I've had people walk up to me and hand me a 37-page prophecy letter that was nothing but gibberish, okay? I've had those before. I don't know if you've ever gotten them, but I've gotten them all. I've been in a few hundred churches to get those letters. Now listen, to us sometimes that stuff seems weird, far out there. We don't understand it. But guess what? God still wants to use them, whether you don't understand that letter at all or that prophecy that they gave you. You know, it's so hard that sometimes people are gifted and anointed, and they carry something on them. They just don't know how to use it correctly sometimes. And because they don't know how to use it correctly, we overlook them. We overshadow them. We don't give them the knowledge or the resources to be able to use their gifts in the church, because they seem a little bit out there, you know? How many know that God wants us not only to recognize the anointing in ourselves tonight, but he wants us to begin recognizing the anointing that God gives other people? Amen. Now, the third one I want to talk to you about, if you're writing this down, you're taking notes, go ahead and write this down. The third one I want to talk to you about is recognizing the anointing when it shows up corporately. Now, what does that look like? Well, that could show up in intercessory prayer. A whole bunch of intercessors get together, they start praying, and man, God starts moving. It could show up in healing, where there's a corporate anointing for healing that shows up, and healing just starts happening all over the room, and nobody even has to lay hands on anybody. Listen, I operate as a healing evangelist, but one time I was preaching in Albany, New York. And this lady, who was probably somewhere in her late 70s, early 80s, her doctor had talked her in to getting double hip surgery. Now, usually when you get hip surgery, I don't know if anybody's ever had hip surgery. Anybody in here ever had hip surgery done? A couple people. Usually when you get that done, they tell you one hip at a time, right? Isn't that usually what they do? But usually it's one hip, and then 6 months to a year later, you get the other one done. This doctor says, no, we're going to get both of them done at the same time. She gets them both done. Her children were mad at her because she got both of them done at the same time. The doctor said, well, now that you got them both done at the same time, I want you to know you're going to be in so much pain, you're going to be in a wheelchair for 6 months to a year now. So this lady, she was just so bummed out about this. And the anointing in this room, this church I was preaching at in Albany, New York, was so thick, Pastor Chris, I actually had to go lean up against the wall because my knees were so buckled underneath me. And all of a sudden, this little old lady's in this wheelchair in the back of the church, and all of a sudden we hear, ah! And she jumps up and she takes off bolting around the church. Bolting. They told her she wouldn't be walking for 6 months to a year. And she's running around the church. All of a sudden, I hear people getting ecstatic, and they're just jumping and hollering. They're running around the church, too, you know. They're just excited about what God's doing. There was a lady standing next to me. I said, what just happened? She told me the whole story about this lady getting this surgery, and God just instantly healing her. Listen, nobody laid hands on her. It was that corporate healing anointing that showed up. So listen, the anointing shows up in different ways in many facets. It can show up in you individually that you need to recognize tonight. You need to notice tonight. What are the gifts? What are the talents? What is the anointing that God laid on you? But also, let's not turn a blind eye to others who are anointed in the body of Christ that aren't being used. You know, so often there's people that God wants to use. They just don't know how to be used, or people refuse to use them. How many know that you can't use the... The body of Christ can't grow if we're not going to take care and use people that we think can't be used. Amen? You know, when I was younger, when I first felt called into the ministry, I went to my pastor. I said, "Pastor," I said, "I feel called into the ministry." "Well, what do you feel called to do?" I said, "I feel called to be an evangelist, and I feel like God's given me a gift of teaching." He says, "Well, there's your problem." I said, "Well, what's that?" He says, "You can't hold two office gifts at the same time. You can't be an evangelist and a teacher at the same time. You better go figure that out. You can't have two office gifts." And then he told me to go clean the toilets. True story. He told me if I wanted to be used in the church, I had to go clean a toilet. Now listen, I know there's humble beginnings, aren't there? But sometimes God wants to use people right where they're at. Come on, did you hear what I said? God wants to use you right where you're at. And don't let anybody confuse you or tell you otherwise what God has laid on your heart and what your giftings are, what your anointing is. Listen, I want to tell you, there are people who are called to be intercessors. I do not have the gift of intercession, okay? I know that. I can pray, but there are things that intercessors can do, Karen, that I can't do. It's just simple. And that's why we need their anointing in the body. Because they can accomplish stuff that we can't accomplish sometimes. They can break strongholds that we can't break on our own. So we see when this corporate anointing shows up, it's for a purpose. But here's the thing. So often, when a corporate anointing shows up, most of the time, people do not know how to pick up on it in the spirit. Oh, come on, you got to put your ears on and listen to me. We sometimes cannot pick up on it in the spirit when God's anointing shows up in a corporate setting. And my friends, I want to tell you, God wants to do something deep down inside our spirits tonight that we pick up and that we're so extremely sensitive to when the Holy Spirit shows up and that anointing shows up, that man, our spirits get it. Man, we're like, oh, there it is. That anointing just fell. How many of you have ever been in a room and you just felt, go ahead, raise your hand if you've ever been in the room and you knew that the anointing of God just fell in the room. You knew it. Well, I want to tell you, I feel like the church has become so numb to when those times happen that we can't recognize it anymore when it shows up. And my friends, I want to tell you, God wants to take that numbness. He wants to take that away from us. He wants us to start becoming more sensitive to when that corporate anointing shows up again in a room. As Pentecostals, as Assembly of God people, we need that again in our churches. That we would be sensitive to the anointing. Recognize it when it shows up. Once again, whether it's in us, in other people, or in a corporate setting, we need to know that. Well, that was just my introduction. Go ahead and turn over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. And when you're there, say there. And when you're there, say there. And this is what it says. But you, say me, say us. Look what he says here. But you. He's talking to the church. I mean, you know that God thinks it's important that the church knows about the anointing. Look what he says here. But you, talking about us, talking about you, talking about me. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now look what he says here. But you have an anointing. Say, I have an anointing. I'm anointed by God. I have gifts from God. I have talents from God. I have abilities from God. I'm anointed. Say it one more time like you mean it. I'm anointed. The way he says there. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Where does the anointing come from? It comes from who? The Holy One, who is Jesus. The anointings that we carry comes from Him, comes from Jesus. So each and every one of us that has a gift, a talent, ability, an anointing from God, it comes from Jesus. He has anointed us. Say, he's anointed me. Now notice what he says here. And you know all things. Listen, there are some things about yourself that Jesus, the Holy One, the Anointed One, wants to reveal to you. Did you hear what I said? There is things about yourself and what you carry, the anointing that you have, the anointing that you carry. He wants to begin teaching you about this anointing. You know, so often we feel like we're anointed, but we just don't know what we're anointed for. Well, guess what? The Holy One, Jesus, can tell you what you are anointed for. Can you either say amen or oh me this evening? Say, I'm anointed. From the Holy One. And he's going to start revealing to me what I'm anointed for. Now we're in verse 20. Would you just shoot on down to verse 27? We're still in the same book, same chapter, but we're going from verse 20 down to verse 27. Take a look what it says. As for you, once again, he's talking about us, talking about me, talking about you. Look what he says here. As for you, as for us, the anointing you received from him remains in you. So from the day you got saved, God has anointed you. Now the problem is, you may have been sitting on the anointing that he has given you up until this part, up until this time. Because maybe there's things that God still needs to teach you about your anointing that you are still sitting on, that you haven't been doing. How many know that God wants to use people in the body of Christ? Listen, I want to tell you, I thought I was anointed to be a pastor. I was not. You might not know this about me, but I've pastored 3 churches, and out of 3 churches, I got canned from 2 of them. I am not anointed to be a pastor, Pastor Tim. I don't have the diplomatic side, you know, all that stuff. I don't have any of that. And you got to know where your giftings are, where your anointing is, where God has put you and placed you in the body of Christ. Or you end up getting canned. Amen. Or just not fitting into the peg like you should, right? Look what he says here. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. Now, I'm going to stop there because here's the problem that happens in the body of Christ. It's been happening for years. It's going to continue to happen because this is how people think. This is how people react. I don't need a pastor. I don't need a church. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. And you know what verse they always use for that? That one right there that we just read. They take it, they manipulate it, and they make it read what they want it to read. Saying that they don't need a pastor, they don't need a local body, they don't need a church. Guess what? God can't work with a person that can't fall underneath the local body's leadership. And I want to share this with you. Anybody that is anointed by God and refuses to fall under the leadership of a church is in rebellion. Oh, come on now. Don't shoot me down because I'm preaching good. And it should not be tolerated. Oh, come on. I got 2 amens and a couple head shakes. Listen, my friends, God can anoint people, but if they do not fall under the leadership, if they don't operate underneath the leadership of the church, if they're one of these people that say, oh, well, right here it says it, I don't need anybody to teach me. I have the Holy Ghost. Well, that's not what the Word of God is saying, is it? It's manipulating it. Look what he goes on there and says. But as his anointing teaches you, now look what it says there. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, I got to stop there. What he's saying in verse 27, he's repeating again. Or what he said in verse 20, he's repeating again in verse 27. Look what he says. But as his anointing teaches you. Now, who is his? Who is he that we're talking about here again? It's Jesus. Look what he says. But as his anointing teaches you. Guess what? Jesus wants to teach you tonight what your anointings are, what your gifts are, what your talents are, what your abilities are. But his anointing will teach you about all things. All things, guess what? Pertaining to who? You. He wants to teach you who you are in him. And as he teaches you who you are in him, that anointing will start flourishing. It will start being illuminated inside your spirit to know who you are in him and what he's anointed you for. Look what he goes on there and says, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and that anointing is real. Isn't that what it says? But that anointing is real and not what? Counterfeit. Now, I just want to stop there and just camp out on that for a little bit. It says the anointing that he's put on you is what? Real and not counterfeit. My friends, I want to tell you, I've been in a lot of church services and I've seen a lot of things that people said was God and wasn't God. And they make it out to be, oh, this is real. This is from the Holy Spirit. This is the anointing of God and all these things, and it's not from God. I one time was preaching in a church, and it was the most chaotic pandemonium service I had ever been in my life. I'm talking, I couldn't even get the service back. That's how much out of control it was. There was a lady that was walking around. And she was going around, she was face-palming people, just walking up and just face-palming them in the face, trying to get them to go down in the spirit, and all they were doing was going like this, you know? And she just kept walking around just face-palming people. I thought she attended church there. I found out it was her first day there. She was going around face-palming people. Then she walked up to a young lady that was probably in her late 20s, early 30s, and she said, God has never given you a child, and he's going to give you one right now. And she had this young lady get down on the floor with her knees up and go through the motions of childbirth with the noises and everything. And there was 200 people in this congregation just standing there watching this lady on the floor pushing out this spiritual baby. I thought the pastor was going to stop it. Turned out he was cool about it. He gave me a thumbs up. But there's all these things that happen that we say is the anointing of from God. Listen, my friends, look what it says. It is real and not counterfeit. My friends, I don't know about you this evening, but I don't need any fluff. I want the real thing. I want the genuine thing. I want what's really coming from God. Amen. Come on. I don't need anything fluffed up. I've been through the fluff. I've had enough of it. I want the real encounter. I want the real thing from God. That's what I want. Come on. And when we walk in this anointing, as he reveals to us, he's going to show us what's from him and what's not from him. Amen. It's real. It's not counterfeit. Just as it's taught you, remain in him. Have you seen a reoccurring thing here? As long as we remain in him, the anointing will always flourish through us. He'll always teach us what it is. We'll always be able to walk in it. But once we walk outside of him, the anointing also doesn't go along with him. Amen? Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to take a look at verse 21 through 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 through 22. And when you're there, say there. Look what it says here. Now it is God who makes both us and you. Man, I tell you what, it doesn't matter where you're looking, whether it's 1 John or 2 Corinthians, it always comes back to us. When it comes to talking about the anointing, it comes back to us. It is so clear that God wants us to know who we are in Him, and it is about us when it comes to this anointing that we carry. Look what he says there again. John wrote this. Look, Paul's even writing this. Now it is God who makes both us and you. Say us. You. Me. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. Once again, it comes back to the anointed one. It comes back to Jesus. It is Jesus that is giving and sending these gifts, these talents, these anointings out to his people. Look what it goes on there and says. In Christ, he anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now look, it says he's anointed us, he sealed us with his ownership, put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You know, this morning we talked about this a little bit. We're going to talk about this a little bit tonight with this verse. But notice, guaranteeing what is to come. What is he talking about there? He's talking about the second return of Christ. How many know that Jesus is closer to coming back today than what he was yesterday? And guess what? Not only is he coming back for a spotless, blameless bride, he's coming back for an anointed bride. But how is he going to come back for an anointed bride if we don't know who we are in him and the anointing that we carry? Then he's coming back for a bride that just is just so-so, right? No, I sure hope not. He wants us to know who we are in him, knowing about this guaranteeing of the things to come, because he's put his Holy Spirit in us as a deposit. My friends, the Holy Spirit's in you as a deposit, guaranteeing your salvation for the end time. Amen. When you draw your last breath or he comes back for the second return, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He set his ownership on us. He's sealed us. Amen. He's anointed us. Go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 real quick. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. I'm reading this from the King James Version. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. If you've been in Pentecost any amount of time, you've probably heard this a half a dozen times or more. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. When you're there, say there. Now look what it says here. And it shall come to pass in that day. Now what's he talking about there? It shall come to pass in that day. This is Isaiah writing this about 400 to 500 years before Christ shows up. And Isaiah is telling the people who are coming in the future, those who from Pentecost up until now, that's who we are, he's saying it's coming a day that will pass. Guess what, my friends? You and I are living in that day. We are living in that day that Isaiah wrote about. We are living in this right now. He wasn't talking about his generation. He wasn't talking about a generation 300 years afterwards or 400. He was talking about that generation from Pentecost on. Oh, we're living in this generation that he's talking about right here. Look what he says here about this generation that's coming. Look what he says. And it shall come to pass in that day, we're living in that day, that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. We are what Isaiah was speaking of. We are living in that day where burdens can be uplifted because of the anointing that we carry. Yokes are broken. Yokes are uplifted off people's shoulders that they don't have burdens anymore. People can be set free from drugs and alcohol, pornography, whatever it may be, because of the anointing breaking the yoke. My friends, we have people in this congregation tonight. They can go to the local grocery store, the gas station, wherever it may be, and go in and begin using the anointing that we walk in to see people set free from drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be. Chains being broken off of people. You know, we sing songs like that all the time, don't we, Whitney, about breaking chains and all sorts of things. Well, those things happen because God's people walk in the anointing that's on them. We'll start seeing chains broken off. We'll see people start being set free when we start walking the anointing that He, Christ, has put on us and in us in our lives. Look what He says there. He says, and it shall come to pass that the burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders, yoke shall be taken off thy neck. How many know that there's some people that's got some burdens? There's some people that need a heavy burden lifting off their shoulders. And my friends, it's the anointing that God has put on His people that can break that. Can break that bondage, break those chains, see people set free and delivered. Come on. Either say amen or oh me this evening. Come on. You know, in the Old Testament, there would be only three individuals that would be anointed by God. Those would be kings, priests, and prophets. You know, we see illustrations in the Bible. We see stories where Aaron got anointed by oil, and we see over in the book of Psalms how it dripped all down his face and all over his beard. And we see this beautiful representation of an outward appearance. Let me say that again. We see a beautiful illustration of an outward appearance of what an anointing does. It covers people. Do you know, in the Greek, the word anointing, it's a word called unction. How many of you have ever heard unction before? Some of us, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, we used that word when we talked or described the Holy Spirit. We would say the unction of the Holy Spirit. In other words, what we were saying was the unction of the Holy Spirit. We were actually saying the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, that word unction in the Greek, if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. But the word unction in the Greek, where we get this word anointing, this word unction, it actually means a salve or an ointment. Let me say that again. It means a salve or an ointment. What does a salve or an ointment do? It does what? It heals. It revives. It heals up scars. It heals up wounds. Guess what, my friends? In this New Testament that we were living in, the anointing that we carry covers up, heals, and just obliterates scars. Oh, come on. How many know that there's some people that got some scars in their life? They got some wounds that they need to be healed up from. And my friends, it's God's anointed people that can see people set free from those things. Now, in the Greek, that's unction. It means a salve or an ointment. But in the Hebrew, the word anointing means to smear or to paint. In other words, you would take anointing oil and you would just smear it across somebody's forehead. Or paint. I heard a scholar, this has probably been 25 years ago. I heard a scholar one time say, I believe it was R.C. Sproul that said this. He said that when you see the word anointing in the Hebrew where it says smear to paint, he says, we think of God painting a beautiful picture of who we are in Him. Because that's literally what the anointing in the Hebrew means. It means to smear to paint. It means God's painting a beautiful illustration of who we are in Him. Let me ask you this evening, what kind of beautiful painting is God painting of who you are and the anointing that you carry? What's the illustration of the anointing that you carry to this evening? My. I told you I wrote this message while I was in my kitchen, and I think probably within about 10, 15 minutes, I was done writing it. It was like I just sat there and I just started typing out everything that the Holy Spirit was showing me, Pastor Chris. And what he started doing was he started taking me through the scriptures and showing me individuals who were anointed by God, but either they didn't recognize it, or other people didn't recognize it, or it showed up corporately and people didn't recognize it. So I want us to go over a few people in the Bible who were anointed by God, but people overlooked it. The first one I want us to talk about is when Jesus healed on the Sabbath. How many remember this story of when Jesus healed on the Sabbath? Now, do you remember what happened? He heals a man on the Sabbath, and then the Pharisees get all bent out of shape. And they say, you got 6 other days to do this. Do it on that day, but don't do it on the Sabbath. You can't get more religious than that, can you? I want to tell you this, and if you're taking notes, write this down. Religious spirits, Pharisee-minded people, Pharisee spirits will never recognize the anointing when it shows up. They won't recognize it in a person. They won't recognize it when it shows up corporately. And most of the time, they're the ones keeping people back from walking in the anointing that they carry. Because it's this mindset that's not the way we do it. That's literally what they were telling Jesus. You got six other days. Don't do it today. You got do it another day. Why are you doing it? Why are you breaking our rules? Why are you breaking our traditions? Sometimes, most of the time, a Pharisee, a religious spirit, will not like a certain anointing that individuals will carry. It will irritate them, it will frustrate them, and they will make sure in all their power that that anointing does not get used through somebody. Oh, did you hear what I said? Don't shoot me down now. That is why we need to be so sensitive to what the Spirit is doing around us and through us, that we don't allow somebody to come in between the anointing that we carry or the anointing that somebody else carries. Because here's the thing, when we start putting the Holy Spirit in a box and start putting the anointings and the giftings of the Holy Spirit in a box, saying that it can't be done this way because we don't do it that way. We've never done it that way. Oh, my friends, we won't ever allow the Holy Spirit to move if we do it like that. Amen? I have a buddy. He left the Assemblies of God, and he's going with the Methodist Church. I said, buddy, they ain't going to let the Holy Spirit move. He says, well, we'll see. You got to know what lane you're in, right? Right? You got to know what lane you're in. You know? I think probably his mindset is he's going to go and he's going to change them. Well, it may not work. It might work out. I hope it does for him. It might not. You have to understand that people will stay focused in the lane that they're in, and they'll want you to get in their lane with them. And if you don't, it's going to tick them off and not like you, and go against everything about you and your anointing you carry. If I can say this, if I was able to stick around, I'd maybe preach a message on this, but I think God wants us to start being more aware of the spirits that hinder a church. I'm going to get off on a tangent here a little bit, but I'll come back. I'm going to go off on a little rabbit trail. But do you know how often that there are spirits, there are characteristics that hold a church back, like that Pharisee spirit, like that Korah spirit, that rebellious spirit, whatever it may be? My friends, we need to get a tighter rein on things sometimes. Did you hear what I said? if we don't get a tighter rein on some of the characteristics. And I remember talking to a pastor one time, and he said, listen, God loves those people, and he wants to use them, even though that they're not really wanting to see the Spirit of God move. He still loves them. He still wants to use them. And I said, yes, I know, but they're a pain in my rear. I can't put up with this. I told you I ain't a pastor. Because here's my thing, my friends. I don't put up with nonsense. And I think sometimes that's what we do too often, is we put up with too much nonsense in the church. And really what God wants us to do is have order. And he wants us to have order, and he wants things to be done in an orderly fashion. He doesn't want chaos in the church. He doesn't want there to be fighting and bickering and arguing and dissension and no unity. Right? Isn't that what the Word of God tells us? Well, I told you I was getting off on a rabbit trail there. We better get back on track. The next one I want to talk to you about is when Jesus calmed the storm. He had his disciples out on a boat, and where's he at? Well, one gospel will tell you one thing, another gospel will tell you the other. But we're going to use the one where he was sleeping down on the bottom. Here Jesus is, he's sleeping down below deck. And all of a sudden, there's a storm that rises up. When this storm rises up, his disciples say, Lord, don't you care about us? We're all going to perish. We're all going to die. Don't you care? He gets up. He speaks to the winds. He speaks to the waves. And he tells it to be still. And what's their response when they see Jesus operating in this anointing that he's got from the Holy Spirit? What do they say? Do you guys remember what he says? What do they say? They say, even the winds and the waves obey this man. Who is he? Who is this guy? Well, he's the anointed one. He's Jesus. He's the anointed one. And they say, who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? Listen, I want to tell you that when we are walking with Jesus, when we are walking with the anointed one, we will start to see supernatural things happen around us. We will see supernatural things happen in our lives personally, in our church services, in our community, in the city, in the community that we live in. We'll start to see supernatural things when we start experiencing the supernatural through the anointed one. Oh, my friends, we need to have an in-depth relationship with the anointed one so that we can start seeing what the anointed one really can do through us. Oh, my friends, I want to tell you, God will do some supernatural things through other people if we would just pay attention to the anointing that they have. See, the disciples were so confused that they said, who is this guy? How come he's got power over the winds and the waves and the storm? How come he's got this? Who gave this guy this? Oh. My friends, if we could just tap in to what the anointed one has, we would start seeing supernatural things. I remember hearing a story one time. How many remember when that tsunami hit Sri Lanka? Well, what has this been almost 15, 20 years now? I remember hearing a story of a bunch of missionaries that were on a boat, and they saw the wave coming in. And there was a couple, I think maybe 50 to 100 people on this boat. They saw this wind coming in. They stood there in this boat. They saw this wave probably about as high as the ceiling is, and they say to it, we command you to go somewhere else. And they said that that wave completely buckled underneath the boat and came back up as high as it was coming over top of them and kept going. Oh, my friends, if those people had that kind of supernatural results, you know, you can have that supernatural results. Those are the anointing that you walk in. Well, what's Isaiah 10 say again? It will break the yoke. We have this anointing. My friends, we just aren't walking in it sometimes. Oh, but my friends, God wants to reveal to us who we are in him tonight, that we would start walking in that. Amen. I remember John the Baptist. This is another one that the Holy Spirit gave to me in my kitchen that night. Here we have John the Baptist, who is out in the desert, eating locust and honey, eating bugs, wearing camel hair, looks like a crazy person, looks like a wild man, and here he is. He is the guy that's supposed to prepare the way for the anointed one coming. How many know that there will be people that won't look like the part, but they will show you who the anointed one is, who Jesus is? Listen, there are people that are in the body of Christ that are anointed by God, and they do not look the part, but they sure will show you the way to the anointed one, to the forerunner, to the one who's coming after me. Isn't that what John said about Jesus? If we would just open up our eyes and stop looking at the physical appearances of people and who they are and what they look like and where they've come from, and started looking at the anointing and the gifts that God has put in them, oh, my friends, they would start showing us the way. They would start pointing us through the anointing that's on their lives closer to who he is. How many know that God still has forerunners showing us who Jesus is? Come on. And listen, here John the Baptist is. He's got camel hair on. He looks a mess. He's eating bugs. I can just imagine just hanging off his beard, just honey and locusts stuck in his beard, you know. And here he is. He's telling people, hey, there's one that's coming. There's one that's coming that I'm not even worthy of untying his sandals. He's the one you're going to follow. But get this, John the Baptist didn't look the part. And sometimes there are people that are in the church that are anointed by God and they don't look the part. Did you hear what I said? Because we overlook them because of what their appearances or where they came from or whatever it may be. We overlook the anointing that they carry. I one time was in the hospital. I was just going in for a routine thing. I can't even remember what it was for. I think it had to have been something very routine, like a colonoscopy or something. I don't know. But I remember sitting at the desk with this lady, this secretary there at the hospital, and she says, okay, what's your name? Jason Jablonski. How old are you? I'm 42. Okay. What religion are you? I'm Pentecostal. Okay. Next thing on the list, what's your occupation? I'm a minister. And she got quiet all of a sudden. She goes, you're a minister? I said, yeah. She goes, you don't look like a minister. And I looked back at her and I said, well, what's a minister supposed to look like? And she goes, I don't know. Now, granted, I ain't going to lie to you. I probably had a Rolling Stones t-shirt on at the time and it probably threw her off. I don't know. But so often we look at people's outward appearances and what they look like and all sorts of things and think, well, that person doesn't look like the part, so how is God using them? You know, we have to start looking at people. There are people who will have flaws that God still wants to use. There will be people that will not look the part, but God will still use them. Amen? You know, I've preached in all sorts of churches, and, you know, I've been all over the place. I remember one time I preached in shorts. I was preaching down in Kentucky. And I've known this pastor for over 20 years, and I thought I could preach at his church in shorts because I saw him preach in shorts at his last church, you know. And I went down there, and I preached in khaki shorts, and I found out real quick that you don't preach in Kentucky in shorts. You might be able to get away with that in Pittsburgh, but not in Kentucky. And I'll tell you what, there were some people that got very upset about that, you know. Sometimes people don't look the part because we think the part looks a certain way. You know, there's this guy. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this guy before, have ever heard of him or whatever, but there's a minister. He travels full-time like I do. His name's Todd White. How many of you have ever heard of Todd White? This guy, he preaches in T-shirts and ripped-up jeans and tennis shoes and has dreadlocks and tattoos all up and down his arms. He was a professional hockey player before he did this. Let me tell you, this guy does not look the part. But man, God sure does use him. And God will use anybody that doesn't look the part if we could just see past what they look like and where they came from. Amen? I mean, no, God wants you to start looking at past some people this morning and seeing the inside of what somebody is anointed for, what their gifts are, what their talents are. Well, I want to share one more with you this evening. I remember the story of when Philip saw the caravan over in the book of Acts. He sees this caravan, and he sees the Ethiopian down there, and the Holy Spirit tells him to do what? Go down in there. He doesn't know why he's going down, but he's going down there. And he gets down there, and the Ethiopian is sitting up there, and he's reading the scroll of Isaiah, and he's reading exactly at the point of Jesus coming. And he asks Philip, who is this man that they're talking about here? And Philip starts telling him about Jesus and how Jesus came and how he came to fulfill everything. And by the time he's done explaining to Philip who Jesus is through the scroll of Isaiah, the Ethiopian is so excited that he says, what stops me? What forbids me to get baptized right now? And this is what happens. They go and they go down into the water. They get baptized. But when they come back up out of the water, it's just the Ethiopian man. And Philip is translated out. Here's something that the Holy Spirit revealed to me about that story. And I want to prepare you for this. I want you to hear this. We need to quit getting so attached to people's anointings that they carry and the gifts that they carry and the abilities that they carry. You know, the body of Christ gets so attached to people. Now, that was a good place for you to shout and say, oh, I think you might be right. Do you know how many people follow a minister, an evangelist, a prophet from town to town, from city to city, from state to state? They follow these people, and they get so attached to their anointings. Listen, that Ethiopian man had no time to get attached to the anointing that Philip gave him because he was out as soon as he got there. And here's what I want to tell you. We need to be prepared sometimes not to get so attached to other people's anointings because we don't know how long they're going to be in our lives. Whether it's a Sunday school teacher or a mentor or whatever. You know, my friends, I want to tell you, throughout my years, I've had mentors, I've had friends, I've had all sorts of things that have come in and out of my life. And I'm sure you have too. And it's very easy to get attached to something that somebody's carrying. And so often we get attached to the anointing, the gift that they have, that we're so attracted to that anointing and that gift that when they leave, we don't really miss them. We miss the gifting, the anointing that they had and carried. You know, Paul says, follow me. That's what Paul says. He says, follow me as I follow the Lord. So often, we are following people so close that we're following them more than we are the anointed one. We're following a person more than we are Jesus. Listen, it just astounds me. I can't even believe how often people chase after people and their gifts and their anointings. I know a couple young men. I'm probably thinking about four or five off the top of my head. that want to be so much like a certain evangelist that they get their hair cut like him, they buy suits to look like his, they carry their Bible up underneath their shoulder just like him. I want to tell you, I've listened to these young guys preach. Their voices sound identical to this guy. That's how much they want to be him and how much they want to have his anointing. God has never called us to follow people like that, my friends. He's never called us to follow somebody's anointing like that or that close. If we get attached to somebody's anointing like that, we are following man more than we are the anointed one. If we are following people so much that we have to sound like them, look like them, and act like them, we are not going after the anointed one and his anointing. We are chasing after someone else's anointing. Amen. All right, now don't shoot me in the foot because you like a preacher too much now. Listen, we need to start focusing on the anointed one and less on the person who is anointed. Amen. Well, would you stand to your feet with me? Whitney, can I have you come back up for me? Thank you so much. Tonight, I want you to come around the altar. And I want us to come after God. And I want us to seek after the anointed one. I want us to ask the anointed one, what are the gifts? What are the anointings? What are the giftings? What are the talents that you've given me? So this evening, would you step out of your seats? Would you make your way down to the altar? And Pastor Whitney's going to play a little bit. I want you to come. Would you just lift your hands up to him tonight and just start going after God? Would you just lift your hands up to him right now? Would you just begin to ask the anointed one what you are anointed for? There you go. Go ahead. Just ask him. Just say, Jesus, what have you anointed me for? What are my gifts? What are my talents? What are my abilities? What are my giftings? You know, there are people that God has gifted, anointed, to give messages in tongues, but they just wait for somebody else to do it. There is people that God has anointed to prophesy, and they just wait for somebody else to do it. It's time to start trusting in the anointed one and let him teach you who you are in him and the anointings that he's placed on your life, the gifts. You know, I know that this worship team, I tell you what, you guys have a good bit of people on this worship team, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to add more to it. Amen. More guitar players. Come on. If there's somebody out there that's gifted to play guitar, God wants to use them tonight. Amen. Bass players, synth players. When Willie can't show up, have a drummer on hand. Amen. Come on. God wants this stuff. Come on. Because God's anointed people. He's gifted people. Come on, would you just lift your hands up? Just begin lifting your voices right now. And just start telling him, oh, Holy One, Anointed One, show me what my talents are. Show me what my giftings are. Show me my abilities. What is my calling? What is my gifting? What are my talents? Holy Spirit, would you show us? Come on, just tell him that right now. Tell him in your own way. Holy Spirit, show us what we're anointed for, what our giftings are for, our talents are for. Listen, I know that God has intercessors in this church, but I know that he's probably called more people who are intercessors. But they've been sitting on it because they feel this burden for people. They feel a burden for their community. They feel a burden for their pastor. And they feel like, well, maybe I just need to pray. No, you're probably an intercessor. You just don't know it. Father God, reveal to the intercessors who they are in you. reveal to those who have a message in tongues that sit on it to be able to be used.